Men are compared to beasts, to wild animals and to animals in general. And the Bible teaches that animals have qualities that we can learn from. Some of them are good and some of them are not so good. But even animals can teach us some spiritual character. And so we're going to go look for the lion today, the African lion. And he really is the secret to the success of a pride of lions. In the same way, dads, fathers, you are the secret to the success of your family. So let's see if we can... Oh, do you hear that? You're somewhere. Ooh, he sounds pretty close. We got one more verse here to read. Read this one with me. Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. So if we're ready for the journey, we're going to look at some lions today and learn some truths from the lions that we can apply to dads in particular, but actually to all of us. We need these qualities in our life. And Jesus is referred to as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5. And as I said, the male lion really is the secret to the success of a pride of lions. Dads, I'm here to encourage you today. That's what I want to do. I'm going to lay some truth out there for you. I don't want it to be burdensome. I want it to be a blessing. You are here today, and your presence here today shows me that you love and care for your families. And so that speaks a lot. And God has a design for you. Yes. Oh, Children's Church. Sorry. If you want to go to Children's Church, who's Children's Church today? Sharon. Go with Sharon out there. So as the Father goes, so goes the family. It's illustrated so perfectly there in the world of nature, illustrated in the African lion. Lions were once heralded as king of the beasts. They were held in reverence and awe. Today, lions are put down. People talk about their abusive nature, their cowardly behavior, their dependence upon the females for their provision. The African lion, the male lion, is much maligned today. And I see a parallel between that and fathers today. Fathers have been cut down and maligned for generations. You know, when you go back and think about it, it's been decades that the fathers have been put down. And I used to listen to old-time radio programs. I still like to do that from time to time. I have a lot of those downloaded that I listen to. And one that I like to listen to was Father Knows Best. You ever listen to that? You know what? If you go back and listen to that today, you will see some subtle things that Father didn't really know what was best, Mother did. That was the truth of that. Mom always knew what was best, and Dad was kind of, you know, the last to find out what was really happening. Or he had this own personal agenda of his, and everybody knew that just, you know, let Mom work and she'll get Dad straightened out after a while. But TV shows and movies and these things like that have put fathers down, and I think that fathers have just, in many cases, kind of just given up their role or not taken their role as seriously as they should because of the way they are projected in society. So I'm just here today, fathers, to encourage you again and just to build you up. And yes, I know that there are fathers that do some of these things, but the majority of fathers love their wives, their children, and they want what's best for their families. And fathers, on the plains of Kenya, where there is a dominant male lion, whoever oversees his pride, you know, there may be 20 to 30 lioness and cubs, and he oversees his jurisdiction, that pride may raise 40 to 50 cubs to maturity. And that's a healthy pride. It's a growing pride. And those young go off and they start their own prides. But where there is no dominant male, where there is no lion in charge, a pride of lions over that same period of time may fail to even raise one cub to maturity. And that's why lions are disappearing from the plains of Kenya. And that's why healthy families are disappearing from the face of the earth. So the African lion, he really doesn't do a whole lot. I mean, he sleeps an average of 19 hours a day. Now, you got to understand, some of these analogies break down after a while. I mean, don't anybody go home and say, "Pastor said I could sleep for 19 hours." No, but if you put it this way, if we are resting in the Lord, dare we rest any less than 24 hours a day? So let me share with you some ways that we can be like that African lion. First of all, lions have eyes that are placed wide apart on the front of their head. For the size of his head, his eyes are spread out further than any other animal. It's very important for a lion to be able to measure distances. They have really what they call binocular vision. It sets their eyes apart and provides them and allows the lion to measure distances like the eyes of an eagle, up to a fraction of an inch. I mean, after all, if you're a lion and you're running 40 miles an hour and you're about to jump on the back of a water buffalo, you have to count the cost. You have to measure the distance. Can you imagine what it would look like if a lion is running along and all of a sudden he takes off and he lands 4 feet on the other side of that water buffalo? Or he takes off and he doesn't calculate right and he doesn't measure the cost and he falls short and lands with his nose in the dust. But so it is for us as fathers. We have to have eyes that measure the cost. And if you and I are going to raise successful families, we have to have eyes like a lion. Before we take the leap, we need to know how far we have to jump, how far we have to go, so that we don't miss the mark or come up short. And by the grace of God, we count the cost in our endeavors, whether it be time or finances or resources or whatever it might be. We need to count the cost. And may each of you have eyes like a lion. I had the pleasure of looking into the eye of a lion at the distance of about 12 inches. Hey, that was close enough for me. Fortunately, there was a piece of glass between us because I was at the zoo. But if you ever get a chance to look into the eyes of a lion, you discover that their eyes really do glow. Their eyes are constructed like eyes that are unlike any other. Well, I guess there are other animals that have similar things to the lion, but their retina, they have a reflective substance that reflects the light back out of the eye. So not only does the light come in, but it goes back out. And as it goes back out, it's golden in color. Lions literally see twice, once when the light comes in and once when it's reflected back out. You know, as I thought about that, my prayer was, God, give me eyes like a lion that I might be able to see from two different perspectives. You know, not only do I want to see from my perspective, but I want to see from God's perspective. He has a much better perspective than I do. And really, not only do I want to see things from my perspective and God's perspective, but God helps me see things through my wife's perspective and my children's perspective. And that is very important for us as fathers, not only to see things the way we see them, but to see things the way God sees them and to see things the way our wife and our children see them as well. Because sometimes they have a different perspective than we do, and we can learn from that perspective. And then when you are able to see things from God's perspective, it just kind of brightens your eyes as well, like the eyes of the lion. The second thing about lions is they have massive canine teeth. There are two big ones on the top and two big ones on the bottom. They're big. One of those teeth will stand almost 3 inches long, not including the root that's in the bone. These massive teeth are made for grasping. They're too big to chew with. For matter of fact, lions don't chew, they slice. Their back molars are made to be sharp and don't have flat surfaces. They don't chew their food, they simply slice it into pieces, and then they swallow it. A lion will go out and eat about 60 pounds of meat in one meal. They'll take a drink of water and come back and eat 40 more pounds. Do you realize what that means in terms of body fat for you and me? I mean, that's a big meal. But their canines are not for chewing. They are simply for the purpose of grasping. When lions attack its prey, it grasps, but it holds on. It holds firmly. Lions kill mostly by strangulation. They will grab an animal by the throat. Those canines will grasp the throat. They will clamp down with such incredible power that they will shut off not only the trachea so that the animal cannot breathe, but they will also cut off the major arteries of the throat. And so actually the animal faints before it's strangled. Sometimes they will grab the snout, the muzzle, and they will hold on, sometimes engulfing the whole muzzle of a zebra in its mouth. And with those grasping teeth, they are able to hold firm and they don't let go. And I thought, I see an analogy in here for fathers as well. And that is, we need to have teeth like that. Because if we are going to be successful, we must grab the truth and we must hang on to it and we must never let it go. You have to get the truth no matter what it costs you. The writer of Proverbs says, buy the truth and sell it not. In other words, when you get the truth, you hang on to the truth so tightly that truth can never be torn from you. That truth becomes one of the most important things in your life. And so I want you know the truth, you hang on to the truth, and you never let it go. If a lion lets go too soon, he's in big trouble. He's out of position. The animal is kicking and it's gone. And so he is patient and he holds on to the truth. And sometimes when we're trying to teach our children the truth, we have to be patient about that. But we can't give up on them and we can't let the truth go. We have to cling to the truth. We have to hold the truth. We have to hold it tightly and let nobody take it from us. We need to be like those lions and hold on to the truth. And then, like many cats, they have retractable claws. This is really important if you are a lion. Their claws are huge, as big as your finger. They're razor sharp. They also make a lot of noise as a lion walks across the hard-packed soil of the plains. You know, it's like walking here with a little bunch of metal tips on your shoes. Some of you golfers, you know, you got your golf shoes, you got those, whatever they're called, on the bottom. You walk into the clubhouse, everybody can hear you walking across the floor. Everybody could hear the lion coming, but the lion has the ability to retract those claws. Otherwise, click, 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 here he comes. But God designed those claws to be able to retract for another reason. And one of the most interesting things to me was the fact that when a lion disciplines his cubs, he retracts those claws. He retracts those claws before he corrects. Dads, I want to encourage you to be like the lion there. And when you discipline your children, you retract your claws. You don't hurt your children. Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians that we're not to frustrate our children, we're not to exasperate our children. Not only to not hurt them physically, but not hurt them emotionally and spiritually as well. That we would discipline them, but we would discipline them in love. Sometimes they need discipline. They do. But we need to do that when we make sure that we are doing it in love. And there were times when my children were growing up that I had to actually wait before I disciplined them because I was angry about it. We never want to discipline in anger. We always want to wait till we have calm down, and then we're able to discipline in love. But when we love our children, we do correct them, and we let them know the truth. But when they go against the truth and the lines that we have set for them, we discipline them, but we retract our claws. This is what happens in those lion prides where there is no dominant male. The brothers or the sisters take on the correction. And they discipline, but they don't discipline in love, but they discipline in anger. And the spirit of a child can be easily wounded. And so we need to make sure that they know that we love them and we care for them. And even in the process of discipline, we show mercy. The fourth thing about lions is that they have truthful tails. They have truthful tails. The lion's tail is one of the greatest indications of what its intentions are all about. They're not deceptive. Lions telegraph what they are going to do if you would just watch their tail. And fathers, you need tails so as not to surprise your family with your intentions, but so that they know exactly what is in your heart and there is no surprises. When a lion's tail was up high and it's bobbing back and forth, they are pretty happy. They're content. But the lower the tail goes, the more serious the situation. And as the tail comes down to a horizontal position and it begins to twitch back and forth, you know that that lion is going to charge. You know that a charge is imminent. And all the other lions know that too, because they have learned how to read the tail. You can also read a lion's intentions by its teeth. He shows you by the amount of teeth he shows what his intentions are. If you see a lion and his lip is curled up on just one side, you take it as a warning. But if you see a lion and both teeth are exposed, don't turn and run, okay? Don't turn and run, because lions will attack if you run. And so what you need to do is you need to stand your ground. You need to stand firm. And I can't imagine that must be a difficult thing. But if you ever get out there on the fields of Kenya and you see a lion, stand still, stand firm. The greatest courage is marked by the tribesmen of Kenya who have wounds on their chest. One of the greatest marks of humiliation was for them to have wounds on their back. So if they were wounded by a lion on the chest, it meant they stood firm. If they were wounded by a lion on their back, it meant that they turned and they ran. Dads, it's my desire for you that you stand. That you stand on the truth, that you stand on the ground that God has given you. That you stand firm, and that everybody would know where you stand. They would know what your positions are. They would know what your intentions are. That there would be no deceit in you, that there would be no guile in you. I'm amazed at the ministry of Jesus. John introduced him to those that were there that day, and he said, "Behold, there is one in whom is no guile or no deceit." And dads, may your heart be like that. May my heart be like that. May we have a tail like a lion, that everybody knows where we stand, what we stand for, and what our intentions are all about. Now, we understand that Satan is a roaring lion, right? Satan goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And how does Satan attack today? Can I tell you how he really attacks? He attacks through lies, through fear, and through deception. He really has no power over you other than that. He deceives people, he tells lies, and he causes fear. He causes fear to rise up in people's hearts. So what do? We turn and we run because of his roar. There's an old teaching story that comes from the great African savannas where life pours forth in the form of teeming and feeding herds. And as the herds eat their way across the plains, lions wait in the tall grass nearby, anticipating the chance to prey upon these gazing animals. In preparation, they send the oldest and weakest members of the pride away from the rest of the hunting pack. And having lost much of its strength and most of its teeth, The roar of the old ones is greater than their ability to bite. And so the older lions go off and settle in the grass directly across from where the strong and the hungry lions wait and watch. And as the herd enters the area between the hunting pack and the old lions, the old ones, they begin to roar. And they roar mightily. And at the sound of the roaring of these mighty lions, well, most of the herd panics. And blinded by fear, they turn and they flee from the source of the danger. They think the danger is where the roar is. And so they run the other way. And what's in the other direction? Waiting for them in the opposite direction, they run right into where the strongest lions are, waiting for their dinner to arrive as they are perched there in the grass. Now, Satan, he is an old lion. Satan was defeated at the cross of Calvary by Jesus Christ. Really, his back was broken there. He has no power over you except the power that you give him, that you allow him to have through lies and deceit that he brings into your life. Satan's large tactic today is that he is a liar. He is a liar, Jesus tells us, and he is the father of lies. Every lie that people are told today comes from Satan. He's the father of that lie. But he's also a great deceiver, and he's called that by name in the scriptures. And it's interesting that during the millennial reign, Satan is bound for 1,000 years so that he cannot deceive the nations. But you know what happens after that 1,000 years? He is let loose. He is free for a short time. Here's what the scripture says. He goes out and he deceives the nations once again. That's his tactic. And when we understand his tactic, that will help us a lot. We know that he is just out there causing all kinds of deception in the world, deception in our lives today. Because if he did it before he was chained and he deceived after he was chained, that tells me that he's deceiving the nations at this time as well. So can I tell you what you do when you hear a roar and you become afraid? You know what your best course of action is? It's not to run. It's to stand firm and it's to go in the direction of the roar. See, we try to go in the opposite direction of the roar. We want to put safety above everything else. We don't want fear, and instead of rising up with courage, we run. And I'm here to tell you, church, dads, when we run from what is perceived trouble, we are running right into it. We can apply that to many kinds of things in our lives and our society today. I'm here today to encourage you just to stand your ground. You will win. You will be successful. Your family will be successful if you would just stand firm in the truth. These are my intentions. I'm letting everybody know where I stand. And there's not going to be anything that would knock me off the ground from which I stand. This is what we need, dads. This is what we need you to do in our society today. This is what we need you to do in our culture today. Stand for the truth and don't ever let it go. And stand so that nothing can shake you. And I'm not saying we're not going to have fear. There is fear. But courage allows us not to be paralyzed by that fear so that we can continue, that we can continue to raise our children for the glory of God. So when you feel that panicky fight or flight sensation, you want to run, do the opposite. Don't run away, run toward. I keep thinking about what God, or Mordecai had said to Esther. God has put you into the kingdom for such a time as this. And God has placed you where you are for this moment, for this time. Now there are, as I said, the devil tells lies. Could somebody get me a drink of water? I am really dry. I would appreciate that. There are some, a little play on words here, knots in the devil's tail. There are some lies that we need to be aware of in the story that the devil tells and that he's caused men to speak. Jesus said that Satan was a murderer from the beginning and he did not stand in the truth. And this is the scripture here, John 8:44. When he lies, he speaks from his own nature, really. For he is a liar and the father of lies. The first knot in the devil's tail is found in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Satan said to Eve, "Has God said, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden?" Did God say that? No, God had not forbidden Adam and Eve to not eat of every tree, just one. Only the tree that was in the midst of the garden. And so what Satan did was he misquoted God. He misquoted God, telling Eve this lie. And his purpose was to divide man from God, to cast doubt in Eve's mind concerning the goodness of God. Thank you so much, Bob. What does Satan do today as well? He misquotes God. Churches are filled with preachers at the pulpits today that are misquoting the truth, misquoting God, misquoting the Bible. And his purpose in all of this is to cause division. A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And so he's trying to divide man from God. And the way that he does this, he casts doubt. That's all he has to do is cast doubt in our minds about the goodness of God. God is holding back from you. God knows that in the day you eat this, you'll be like him. You become as God yourself, knowing good and evil. And we begin to doubt the goodness of God. And that's why, dads, one of the best things that you can do is continually talk to your children about the goodness of God, how good God is. Because it's the goodness of God, Paul tells us in Romans, that leads to repentance. The second lie is just three verses later, Genesis 3:4. He said unto the woman, "You surely will not die." So the tempter told Eve that the forbidden fruit was delicious, it was much to be desired, and she should go right ahead and eat it regardless of what God said. Why? God won't keep his word. You won't die. How many times does the devil tell us that we can sin and get away with it? All the time, he tempts us to sin. He says, nobody's watching. Nobody will know. And then what happens when you commit that sin? He shouts it to everybody. And because he wants everybody to know. But I want you to know that God will always keep his word. And Adam and Eve did die. They began to die physically. They died spiritually at that moment and physically by degrees. And God said to Adam, "For out of the dust you were taken, and out of the dust you shall return." The New Testament says that in Adam all die. Not only did Adam and Eve die, but it brought death upon the human race. For just as through one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, that's Jesus, the many will be made righteous. The third knot in the devil's tail is Job chapter 1 and verse 19. Has Job feared God for nothing? So Satan's strategy has been and is to throw doubt, first of all, on God's goodness and man's sincerity in loving the Lord. And the devil says this. He says, it doesn't pay to serve the Lord. The devil will tell you, dads, it doesn't pay to serve the Lord. It doesn't pay to make your family serve God. Even though Joshua said, "Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the devil will say this. He will say, "Well, if you're going to serve the Lord, go ahead and serve the Lord, but don't make your children do it too." It's a lie, because how many of you here today became a believer later in life, you served the devil for a while. You tell me what's better. Is it a joy to serve the Lord, or did you have more fun serving the devil? See, the devil will tell you it doesn't pay, but we've got many witnesses in here today that will say, yes, it does pay to serve the Lord. Matthew chapter 12, verse 24. The fourth knot in the devil's tail was spoken by Jesus' enemies, the Pharisees. When a man who was both blind and dumb was brought to Jesus, he healed him insomuch that the blind man both spoke and saw, and all the people were amazed. And they said, this must be the son of David. But the Pharisees said, this is not David's son, the Messiah, but really this is Beelzebub's son, the prince of the devils. So they were saying that Jesus does his work through the ruler of demons. They attributed the works of Jesus to the demonic. And then in Matthew chapter 16, Satan is using Peter to thwart the plan of God for our redemption. And as the time came near for Jesus to go to the cross, he explained to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many indignities at the hands of the elders, the scribes, and the chief priests and be killed. And then Peter actually began to rebuke him and said, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. And the response back to Peter from Jesus is, get thee behind me, Satan. So where did this come from? This is another knot in the devil's tail. This was not Peter's thinking. This thought was put there by Satan. He said, get behind me, Satan, for you an offense to me. How ridiculous for a man to rebuke the Lord and contradict what God has spoken. But how often do people do that today? They contradict the Bible. They contradict what God has said. And they're guilty of this very thing. Again, he tempts us to sin, thinking that we can get away with it, thinking that we have a loophole. And Abraham was tempted to lie about Sarah, and he did. And David was tempted to commit adultery with Bathsheba, and he did. And Moses was tempted to smite the rock, and he did, in anger. And all of these were great men of God who sinned. So we have to watch out ourselves. And we need to, dads, we need to put on the whole armor of God so that we can be able to stand against the wiles, these schemes, this deceptiveness of the devil. And then the final knot in the devil's tail, John 8:13. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, your testimony is not true. Satan would have you believe that the word of God is not true. Satan would have you believe that science is more to be trusted than God. And we know that there have been times when science and God have disagreed. But you know who's always proven right? God. And if science and God disagree today, it just means that science hasn't caught up to God yet. And sometime they will. The devil would rather have you trust your feeling for salvation rather than trust the word of God. He would rather you trust the theory of evolution than God's word about divine creation. By the way, who was the one that was there at creation? God was, right? God is the only eyewitness. He's the only one that can explain how it came about. The devil would have you believe there is no burning hell when God says very plainly there is such a horrible place. And when the Pharisees told Jesus his record was not true, you know what they were doing? They were calling him a liar. And when men falsely accuse Jesus that he is not God come in the flesh, the Bible brands them as deceivers whose coming is work and working is after the working of Satan. Fathers, you need to know some answers to these questions. You really do, because your children are bombarded with these things. They are taught evolution in the schools. Unfortunately, creation is not allowed to be taught as even an alternative theory. We need to be able to answer some of these lies that Satan brings to our children. We need to know not only the truth, but we need to know how to explain that truth to them in a very clear and practical way. When I was a youth pastor, that was one of the things that I dealt with all the time, was because kids would come to me and they said, "My parents said we can't do this," but they were never told why they couldn't do it. And without that reasoning of why it was wrong and why they couldn't do it, they wouldn't follow the truth. It was just easier for them to comply and give in to what their friends and everybody else was telling them to do. I remember the story when we took Growing Kids God's Way. Everybody through that class. It's a great class. I love it. But they were taught, they taught you that you have to give your children the moral reason why in order for them to do the right things and make the right decisions. They talked about how a little boy was going through the grocery store pulling off all the price tags. Until the mom sat the boy down and explained to him the moral reason why he shouldn't do that. And then when she explained it to him, he stopped doing it. He stopped doing it. So not only are we faced with these lies from Satan, not only are these knots in his tail, but we need to be able to unravel them and set the record straight and say, this is the truth. And this is why we believe that truth. And then finally, lions have an awesome roar. You can hear a lion roar over 2.5 miles away. Fathers, you need to learn to roar like that. And the roar of a lion has two purposes. First of all, when a lion roars, it says to all of the members of his pride to come together. It signals to them his location so that they can all hear where one another are, and he draws the pride together. I had a friend with an incredible whistle. And whenever we were somewhere, even if we were in a store, he would let out with this whistle. And all of the children had learned that's Dad's whistle, and they would know where he was, and they would come immediately to him. I never developed a whistle like that. But lions, they don't whistle, they roar. And when they roar, first of all, it brings the pride together. But that same roar accomplishes another purpose. And that is, he is letting all the other male lions in the area know, this is my jurisdiction. This is my pride. This is my family. This is my area of authority. And I am the one responsible. And fathers, you are responsible for your families. And take the lead. It's time for you to take the lead if you haven't. If you haven't taken your children out of the clutches of the evil agenda that is planned for them in this world, you need to start. Because your children can't stand up on their own. They need to know that you are there with them. They need to know that you stand there, you back them, you are with them. And you need to do this because their future really depends upon it. Their well-being depends upon it. And we would all agree this morning that our children are worth fighting for. And we are willing, right, to pay whatever cost it takes to make sure that our children feel safe and are well cared for, and that they are healthy in all areas of life, including their spiritual relationship with God. And you can apply this to all kinds of areas today, because you know where the attacks are coming from. But you need to get involved. I mean, you just take the area of education alone. You know, in Galatians 3:1 says that children are under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the fathers. Fathers, I'm asking you to get involved. I know a lot of times we leave some of these things up to our wives, but really, dads, you are the one that's responsible. And you need to get involved, and you need to let the roar out and say, I'm going to gather my family together. And our family is going to stand here. We're going to be protected together. Your children need to feel safe. And when they hear that roar and the coming together, they will feel safe in that environment. And at the same time, you are letting those in the world know, hey, these children are not your jurisdiction. These children belong to me. They are my responsibility. I'm the one that cares for them. I'm the one that takes care of them. And if you want to get to them, you're going to have to go through me. So learn how to roar. But I know that there are many things that interfere, that are distractions. As among lions, there are other lions that prowl and seek whom they may devour. From among the prides of Kenya, there are roaming males, single males that roam together in bands and seek to destroy the security of those prides. They attack not just the females, they attack the cubs. But before that, they go after the father. They go after the dominant male, for they know that if they can dethrone him, the rest of the family is easy prey. So these roaming bands of nomads roam in the plains of Kenya, intruding the territory of those dominant males. And let me tell you this, they will attack. Usually there's 4 to 5, maybe 6 of these lions together. And they come not in attacking as a group, but they attack one at a time in succession. And they wear that lion down. One will attack and fight for 10 to 15 minutes, going around and around in circles. And when that lion has given it his best shot at dethroning the king, he will retreat and another lion will come in and take his place. And he will give it his best shot. And after 10 or 15 minutes, he will retreat. And this goes on and on and on. But the dominant male, the king, he stands there for one onslaught after another. And he endures these onslaughts. And where he is able to stand, if he is able to drive those intruders away, they will go and they will search for a weaker lion. They will leave him because he was able to make his stand. If those roaming bands of nomads are able to dethrone him and chase him away so that he abandons his responsibility, the first thing that they do is they come in and they kill all the cubs. There may be as many as 20 cubs in a large pride, 5 or 6 in a small. But the first thing that they do is they come in. They not only kill them, they eat them, they devour them. Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. This is what Satan does. Don't kid yourself. Satan is only out to destroy and to devour. The second thing that they do is they abuse those females, causing them to abort the cubs they are carrying. Sounds familiar, right? And then they try to establish their own dominance, bickering and fighting among themselves. Usually, as it happens, the bickering and fighting among them is so great that not one single male asserts his authority. And so another band of nomads come in. It's easy to drive these males away. They have no loyalty to this pride. And as they come in and kick them out, the first thing they do is they eat the cubs. And the process goes all the way through again. So over a course of 10 years, the pride that doesn't have that dominant male to protect it has failed to raise even one cub to maturity. There is no fruit. But where that male will stand and where he has eyes that see two sides from two perspectives, where he sees not only his own perspective, but he sees God's perspective, where he is able to see things clearly and have the light shine in his eyes, and where he is able to take his teeth and hold it. And dads, where you are able to take with your spiritual teeth, and hold on to that truth and never let it go. And when he is able to retract his claws so as not to discipline his children in anger, and where he is able to have truthful tales, so that everyone knows his intentions, so that everyone knows where he stands, and where he is able to roar and say, Cubs, would you come together? There is safety in this pride. And where he is able to say to the nomad lions that are roaming the area, this is my jurisdiction. This is my responsibility. I'll fight if you want to fight, but I want you to know I'm not going to give up. I will stand to the end. There's much fruit. Dads, we are training our children to take the gospel to a time you and I won't see. We cannot fail them. We must take a stand. And I'm so grateful for each and every one of you. I'm grateful that you are here today. I'm grateful that you are raising your children for the Lord. And this church is here to help you in any way that we can, but ultimately, it's your responsibility. So, can I hear your roar? Roar! Roar! Come on, I think we could do better than that. All of the dads, all of the men here today, because men, even if you don't have children, you still have a responsibility at home. So let's really hear you roar, okay? Roar! Roar! That sounded pretty good. Whoops. So here's what I'd like to do today. I would like to honor all you fathers. And actually, we got plenty of root beer here. So not just the fathers. If you're here today and you're married, even if you don't have children, you're still the head of your pride, your family. I'm going to ask you to come forward. Would you come and stand at the altar today or stand on the platform facing the congregation? Praise the Lord. Could you all stand, please? The Bible says we give honor to whom honor is due, and these men are deserving of our honor today. I'm trying to get out of the way of the cameras. How do I do that? Can you shoot over me? So I would like you to stretch out your hand to this great group of fathers that are up here today and just pray for them. It's not easy being a father, especially in this culture. But I'm grateful that they're making a stand for their families. Are any of us perfect? Absolutely not. But a father that's trying to be a priest of his home and lead his family deserves our praise. So let's just pray over them today. Father, I thank you so much for these fathers and these dads, these husbands, these men. Lord, it's a great sight when there's men at church and they're taking leadership roles and leading in the church and leading in their families. I just pray a blessing upon each one. I pray that you would bless each father and in return, bless their home. Bless each husband and their wife. Lord, I pray that you would meet each need that they have. I pray, Lord, that you would just give them the character of that lion. Lord, that they would have eyes to see beyond themselves, to see what you want them to see. I ask, Lord, that you would help them to hold on to the truth. And if there's any area that they don't have the truth in yet, or they're not convinced of, I ask, Lord, that you would show them that truth and teach them that truth. And we bind Satan today for casting his lies in the minds of any of these men. Lord, that they would not fall for any of his lies, they would not fall for any of his deceit, but his lies would be exposed in their life, and that they would know the truth, and the truth would set them free and their families free today. And Lord, that each dad would be able to take a stand, and everybody would know his position, that they would be able to stand firm in the faith, wearing the whole armor of God, dressed for the hunt. I ask, Lord, that you would conquer any fear in any man's heart here today. Maybe they've been running because they've been afraid. Lord, would they stop today, and would you give them the courage to run toward the lion, to run toward the things that they might fear. And Lord, I pray that you would help them to roar, that they would be not only make a stand, but they would proclaim, I have the authority in my family. I have jurisdiction, I have responsibility, and I take that seriously. I pray for any broken homes here today, Lord, that you would mend relationships, that you would heal relationships, because you are in the healing business. And Lord, you are the God of restoration. Pray for families today who have lost their father, who has now gone on to be with you. Lord, we thank you for their testimony and their example. And we are blessed because they have been in our lives. And may we continue to live out those lessons that we have learned from them. Lord, and you would be close to us as our Heavenly Father until the time that Jesus comes and takes us to you, your house and our home in heaven. Put a hedge of protection around each family. Keep them safe, that no evil would befall them. We ask also, Lord, for a hedge of thorns to be placed around so that no evil would be able to penetrate that hedge. There would be safety and security in our homes. And our children and our wives would feel safe and secure. That our children would grow to be healthy. That in the next generation, Lord, they would continue the work that we are doing now. And they would further that work by taking the gospel to places that we can't go. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So can we just show them give them a round of applause, thanks, praise today. God bless you guys. Yes.
Before we get our rip beer and all, I think the men would like to gather around you and Josh, both going on vacation.
Oh, I'd appreciate that.
Gather around you and just pray for you.
Thank you. I'd appreciate that.
Josh, both. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning, Father God. We just thank you, Father, for Pastor Josh, Lord God. We just pray, Father God, for them, Lord. Pray for their safety, Lord, and as they go away for a couple of weeks, Lord. And I just pray, Father God, that they have a good time, Lord. And just you just help them recover or relax
yes.
And just chill out, so to speak, Lord.
Thank
help
you, Lord.
Them, Father God,
yes,
have a good time with their families. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Thank you for our pastors, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. There isn't a greater bunch of dads I'd rather be with. Appreciate that. And it's been our tradition here to take a big daddy with you. So most of them are root beer, some cream soda, a couple diets in there you can look through, and you can be dismissed. God bless you. Thanks for coming today. Oh, Debbie says take two. Go get one.
It's one of my pleasures I had to give up.
Oh, I'm sorry.